It's 8:41. I'm Jeffrey Riley, and we move straight into our Vents Day segment. Every week at this time on Wednesday, we give you a chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. This week, let's talk about Ron Wyden's ONC timber plan and or cell phones on planes. Phone numbers 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. If you heard our first segment, you heard the reaction to Oregon Senator Ron Wyden's plan for managing the former Oregon and California Railroad timberlands in western Oregon. The ONC Land Grant Act of 2013 proposes dividing the ONC lands, a portion to be managed more intensively for timber production, the remainder to be managed for conservation. Trees and natural areas will be protected. It is the Senate answer to a bill that already passed the House, but that one calls for more land protection, or this one in the Senate calls for more land protection and less timber production, therefore less money from trees for county budgets. But the bill also calls for fewer opportunities for the public to comment on or challenge timber sales. What do you think? Is it a good balance? Has Ron Wyden found the appropriate compromise between timber interests and environmental interests? Is it a good balance because every position can find something to complain about? Or do you see it perhaps as a giveaway to the timber industry or a sop to conservation groups? Let's hear what you think on Vents Day. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or jx@jeffnet.org. Item two this Vents Day, cell phones on airplanes. It's not the FAA, but the FCC that regulates the use of phones. And the FCC figured out what many of us suspected, that using cell phones while commercial planes are in the air will not cause navigation malfunctions. So the FCC is considering allowing the airlines to make the call on whether to allow the use of phones in flight. So your take, is this a great thing that you can talk and text from the air? Is this a terrible idea because you can see getting stuck between two people having arguments over their phones? Or is your position perhaps somewhere in the middle? Not necessarily between those two seats, but in the middle of those extremes. Join us on the exchange, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Dennis in Eugene, welcome back to the exchange on Vents Day.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Say, I'm a sort of a simpleton, and so I have to think about things for a long time and sort of try and narrow them down to what really I think is going on. And with the timber thing, this is what I think is really going on. I don't think there will be ever enough timber to harvest to satisfy the people that want to harvest timber.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the only practical thing to do is for people who own their own property, they can harvest their timber. And for the lands that belong to all of us, there should be no harvesting, period, and that we should let the nature do its work in the national public lands and our local public lands.
All right, so no harvest at all on public lands, you're saying?
No harvest, because, like I said, I've came to the conclusion after many years of, you know, I'm a native Oregonian, and I'm a lot more conservative than most of the people that call this station, and I've came to the conclusion that it's just about harvesting lumber to get money, and then once all the trees are harvested and there's no way to get any more money out of it and the land has been decimated, why, that's what we'll have. We'll have a few rich people who took the money and ran, and we'll all be sitting here in the same position that we are. And by just doing a little bit of harvesting all the time, it's like being on drugs. You know, we have this pusher that dribbles out a little bit of drugs to us. Just keep us going. But in the end, it's always going to be the same.
Hmm.
We are going to have to learn to stand on our own two feet, and that's just it.
So harvest the private and preserve the public. Dennis, thanks so much for calling once again. Good to have you here on Vents Day. We do have a shorter Vents Day segment than usual because I let that first segment go a little longer. So 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, jx@jeffnet.org. We're talking timber, the Ron Wyden ONC Timber Act of 2013. And what do you think about the idea of cell phones on airplanes? Pam and Dexter, welcome back to the exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. Well, this is like my number one issue for the Pacific Northwest, because that's what we have. We have these forests. And like, was it Doug Robertson that was on Monday?
Yes.
Okay, so Doug Robinson and Kathy Jones was on Eugene City Club, and someone talked to her about, I think it was Kevin Matthews, who's running for county commissioner against Faye Stewart here in East Lane County. Mm-hmm. And they totally skirt the question about why aren't our timber harvest tax the same as California and Washington. They won't even talk about it because Dennis is right. This is all about the timber barons. This is all about payback favors for political donations. DeFazio takes money from the timber industry. Wyden takes money from the timber industry. It's a huge, powerful group in Oregon, and they aren't really concerned about anything other than the bottom line, and they have this machinery that's set to clear-cut forests, and that is all they care about. So they won't talk about the timber harvest tax being raised to create revenue for our protection of the police, you know, in the southwest. And they also won't talk about taxing the raw timber going out. It's going to be illegal under this plan, but the private timber can do it. He said it was unconstitutional, Doug Robertson. Like, that's
yes.
In the Constitution. Ridiculous. And they don't talk about, they also will not talk about the fact that we can actually get paid for not cutting our forests because we sequester more carbon in the western Oregon than almost any forest in the world. I mean, it's unbelievable. They will not even talk about it. So the bottom line is, this isn't about what's best for the forest. It's all about money for the timber barons. And it's like Dennis said, they will never have enough. So, you know, just like whaling has gone by the wayside and cannibalism is gone, there's certain things we gotta plan for the future. And we have already overcut. I walk daily, and I see the ONC land, the BLM lands, and I see the private lands. And the only thing left that's healthy are our public forests. Now they're talking about trading it, and they're so they want our healthy forests, and we get their overcut poisoned forests. And my thing is, what's the wildlife supposed to do? You know, they don't understand. Mm-hmm. Oh well, gee, this part is the safe part, and over here they're gonna clear cut and poison our lands. We just have overcut. We got to give time for the forest to heal, and we got to think about the future. DeFazio, his head of his article title was "Future Long Term Planning." It's the opposite of long term planning. It's short term profits for timber. And more political contributions so they can get reelected.
All right, Pam.
I just hope. Thank you. I'll let everyone.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Carter and Wolf Creek, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Timber and cell phones on airplanes are topics.
Yes. I'm on 62 acres of forest that's under conservation easement by the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. Mm-hmm. And I challenge any private landowners in Oregon anywhere to put their private lands under conservation easement and practice a forestry, which we do here, where we don't gut the principal in the forest, which is the health of the soils and the mycelial network and wildlife, and something that is pleasant to walk through and look at from above. I challenge them to do that on the private lands, and I challenge them to change the Oregon Forestry Practices Act, and I challenge them to bring back the public lands so that they don't look like something from outer space. And the kind of things I worry about is because of the excesses of extraction in the past, we're putting Curry County in the same position that the city of Detroit, Michigan, is in. I've said enough. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Carter. Appreciate it. Let's go to Rick in Mendocino. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hello. Yes, I've been listening to all your woes about the timber harvesting, and I listen to your program after program about the county woes of financing. I think what you need to do up there, I live in California, so we pay sales tax.
Right.
I think you're just going to have to gut it up and implement sales tax and keep it in the county and take the pressure off the poor overstripped forests. I think that would really help. I don't know if that would help or not, but I think that's what you're just going to have to face in the future.
Well, there is some discussion about that. Thank you very much, Rick. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Okay, comments on both topics. First of all, the easy ones, strawberries. Strawberries. My cell phone wound up in the strawberry bed for 2 years, and that's the best place it ever stayed. Okay. Right. Now, on the timber situation, Pam's got a lot of good points, but it's way more nuanced than that. We do need to continue to diversify the economy. There's a dirty little secret. There was a north-south thing going on with this. The northern end of the ONC lands and the forests, we had huge volumes, millions of board feet that were literally shipped to Japan as raw logs because the Japanese would not accept us milling their logs. And this is something the government went along with because it eased the balance of trade. So first of all, I'm naturally suspicious of this beyond that. Just on the basis of that, if you were in Astoria, you would see acre upon acre upon acre of cold deck up there waiting to be transported across. They had purpose-built ships for doing that. The second piece is that sustainable forestry as it's practiced is essentially a myth. If you want to see sustainable forestry, drive between Medford and Roseburg and look to the left and look to the right and look at the scarred land. That's what's going on there. Before we start doing this, we have to come up with a workable method of maintaining a healthy environment for us, as well as the critters who Pam's worried about, and maintain a healthy economy for people who I'm worried about. The last piece of this is that no matter how much timber you harvest, you have to have a market for it. And when you're competing with the Canadians dumping much better timber on the market, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I'm not sure that we have a place to go. Years ago, I suggested that we were headed towards becoming the next little Appalachia down here, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of it.
All right, Paul, thanks for that. Appreciate it. If you'd like to take part in this Vince Day segment, we're talking about the Wyden Forest Plan and cell phones on planes as our topics. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, jx@jeffnet.org. And I'm glad he brought up that point about demand for timber, because that is not often mentioned in this situation. And in fact, when there was a major crash, a recession in the early 80s, it caused a depression in ONC country because of the fact that because no people were building houses, nobody needed the timber standing there. And so county revenues crashed and a lot of people got laid off from the counties in Western Oregon at that time. That was totally demand driven, had nothing to do with supply at the time. Roger in Cave Junction, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi, I just wanted to comment on what was said about looking out the airplane windows at the forest. And you can do the same thing. Get on Google Earth and take a look at Oregon. You have to zoom in a little bit to get the detail, but just about every part of Oregon has clear cuts on it. And if you look at the statistics of how much land in Oregon is dedicated to timber production versus what's dedicated to other forest-dependent industries like tourism and recreation, it's something like 45% of Oregon land is dedicated to the timber industry, and about 3% is dedicated to preserving forests that are necessary to growth in the industries that also depend on the forest, which is tourism and recreation. Mm-hmm. One of the things that bothers me the most, and I hear this over and over and over again, is people say that ONC lands, the primary purpose is timber production. That is absolutely untrue. If you look at the ONC Act, that there are five purposes that are supposed to be achieved through timber production. One of those five is timber production, is producing logs. But there's also four other things that are supposed to be achieved. And one of those is development of recreation facilities. Economic stability for communities and industries. It doesn't say timber industries. It says communities and industries. And I feel that means recreation and tourism should also be included in these plans that Wyden and DeFazio are putting out. Okay. We're absolutely put on the sidelines here. That how are we supposed to diversify our economy if everything goes to the timber industry and we're left with no input at all,
all right,
into these plants.
All right, Roger, thanks for that. I very much appreciate it. And we have an email here from Joe in Talladega. He says, I like the idea of letting folks do what they want with private lands. and leaving public lands alone. I understand we export a lot of wood offshore. Maybe we should stop cutting and allow only domestic consumption of our timber crop. Just to be clear, you can't export logs off of federal lands. Those have to be used domestically, but you can export logs off of private lands, and lots of people do. Let's go to Tom and Marcola. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yeah. I'm right in the heart of ONC lands, and one of the things I'd like to say is, you know, exporting logs, I think that's a bad idea from any land, private or ONC, public. The other thing is I think that any contracts on public land should be non-profit or worker-owned. That way the worker, there would be more people employed in the woods, and all the profits would go to counties, schools, government. The main thing I want to say is most of this land was stolen by mainly timber companies, cattle companies, way back, you know, early 1900s, late 1800s. Mm-hmm. And if you Google or search school land fraud, Oregon school lands fraud, ONC land fraud, railroad land fraud, you will read stories, if you dig deep enough, about how all the land was stolen 100 years ago, and these timber companies have cut it over, called cut and run, and now they want more of the public land so they can cut it over. I think we should put a stop to it.
All right. Thanks for that, Tom. Appreciate it. We have just a little time for a few seconds with Wolfgang in Sunny Valley, if you want them, Wolfgang.
Yeah, okay. I can do a few seconds. I'm going to make it very brief. But is it possible, and greed prevailing, it is very likely, that we're looking at a Trojan horse? Because what's going to happen after the timber is cut? We have bare land. What do we want to do with bare land? We want to mine it.
Ah, so you see that as a business beginning. All right, so moving on to another economic activity. See, all right, thanks for that, Wolfgang.
Yeah.
Very much appreciated. Sorry we couldn't give you a little more time. Thanks for the calls. I would have been surprised if we hadn't gotten this many on the timber issue, certainly. And since we did get just a few emails on the cell phone thing, we'll save that. We'll use that again next week. We'll send those emails back out for use next week. This has been Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking part.